The Golden Calf, Chapter 37, Exodus 32, 33, and 34. We like to celebrate a feast, don't we? That is so nice, for we can then have so much fun and pleasure. We like that, and for weeks we look forward to this time to come. If we celebrate a holiday in our country, we are glad. But alas, almost always these holidays are celebrated wickedly. The streets are decorated and the flags are hung out. All kinds of sports and games are played on these days, such as horse racing, baseball games, etc., etc. There is often a parade during the day, and with bands and music, and at night, fireworks. Oh, how nice! Have you ever helped along with these celebrations? Have you ever jumped along after the music? Oh, boys and girls, that all seems so nice and innocent. And yet, you do not belong there, because in all of these holiday celebrations, the honor of God is not sought. The main object is to have pleasure and a good time. We anger God with all these celebrations, but that is not taken into account. The Israelites, who are encamped before Mount Sinai, also celebrate a feast. Behold, they are holding hands and jumping in a large circle while they sing and shout. Nearly all the men, women, boys, and girls take part. They are having such fun. Their singing and laughter can be heard far in the distance. Look, an image, which sparkles in the sun, stands in the center of these singing and dancing people. It is a golden calf. They are celebrating this feast in honor of this calf. But, perhaps you will ask in astonishment, were they allowed to do that? No, children. They certainly were not. Did Moses make that calf? Oh, no. At this moment, Moses is not with them. Moses has been gone from them for more than 5 weeks. Did he die? No, happily not. He climbed Mount Sinai upon the command of the Lord. His servant Joshua went with him. The Israelites had watched them go until they had disappeared within the cloud, for this dark, thick cloud continually hung around the top of Mount Sinai. However, the thunder and lightning has ceased, and the sound of the trumpet is not heard. It is now quiet and restful, and the people remained at that place. Several weeks have gone by since the Lord had spoken the law of the Ten Commandments. At that time, the people promised, "All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do." A few days after the law had been given, Moses built an altar and offered a sacrifice. He slew a few young oxen, caught the blood in a basin, and set that aside. He first laid those oxen upon the altar, and then set fire to the wood, so that the oxen burned. After that, he took the blood and sprinkled one half upon the altar, and the other half on the people. That was a sign that God had entered into a covenant with Israel. Soon thereafter, Moses climbed the mountain with Joshua his servant. In the meantime, Aaron, the brother of Moses, had to remain with the people. The people waited and waited for the men who had gone up the mountain. Every day they would look at the mountain to see whether Moses was returning or not. It lasted so long. 1, 2, 3 weeks had already gone by, and still Moses had not returned. They became restless. They could not go and look for him, because the mountain was surrounded by the poles. The fence stood all around it. Besides, they were forbidden to climb up Mount Sinai, for didn't the Lord give them that command? The fourth, the fifth week went by, and still Moses did not come back. Probably he is dead long ago, they said to each other. One morning they go to Aaron and say to him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, we do not know what has happened to him. It could be that he is no longer alive. Surely Aaron did not do that, did he? Didn't the Lord forbid that? They were not allowed to make any images, were they? Alas, they didn't think of that anymore. They wanted to have something which they could see. They wanted to have a god which they could look at, as the Egyptians had. The Israelites forgot and shamefully broke their solemn promise. Aaron should have given them this answer. No, I will not do it. I may not do it. For didn't the Lord forbid that? Shame on you for asking such a thing. I'll never think of doing it. He should have told them to look at the thick cloud above the mountain, for that was the sign of God's presence. He should have reminded them of the manna which they received daily, for that was the sign of God's care over them. God did not leave them, even though at this time they did not know where Moses was. God was still with them, and so it made no difference. Moses wasn't their God, was he? Aaron should have pointed all this out to them, but he didn't do it. He didn't dare, because he was afraid that they would probably become angry and kill him. Give me your ornaments, the gold that you have received from the Egyptians, he said. He thought, they will not do that. They will not want to part with that. But he was mistaken. They gave him their gold. They were willing to part with it for that purpose. Without objecting, they ran to their tents and brought gold ornaments to Aaron in abundance. It is the same even to this very day, children. We have nothing over for the service of the Lord. Often the smallest coins are put in the collection plate on Sunday. That is sufficient. But when there is a celebration in the city or village, then there is money enough. Not pennies, but dollars are spent and squandered. The Israelites did this too. They gave a great deal of gold. Yes, now Aaron had to do it. It was altogether out of the question for him to refuse. So he made the calf, and the Israelites were glad. These are thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, they say. Isn't that foolishness itself? The following morning they would celebrate a feast. And so we see them singing, dancing, and jumping around this homemade golden calf. Dreadful children! How do they dare do it? They are celebrating a feast in honor of an idol at the foot of the very mountain upon which the thick cloud is resting, the sign of God's presence. But suddenly it is quiet. And it is a distressing quietness. The singing, dancing, and jumping cease. Some Israelites become pale from fright. Others look to the ground in shame. For there, all at once, at the bottom of the mountain stands Moses. No one was aware of his descent, for no one saw him coming down from the mountain. They were too busy with their feast celebrating. Moses had been on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights without eating or drinking, and still he had not died from starvation. He is still alive. The Lord took care of that. This again was a wonder of God's almighty power. God had talked with Moses there on the mountain. The Lord also had made two stone tables, and on these tables the Lord had written the law of the Ten Commandments. The Lord did this so that the Israelites would not forget these commandments. If we must remember something, don't we also write it down upon a piece of paper? However, the Lord did not write it on paper, but on stone. Suddenly, the Lord made known to Moses what was going on at the bottom of the mountain. "Go, get thee down," was the Lord's command, "for thy people have sinned exceedingly. They have forgotten me, and they have made a golden calf. They are bowing down before it. They kneel before it. I will punish every one of them for their sin. I will kill every one of them, and I will make of thee a great nation." Oh, Moses is exceedingly frightened. He falls upon his knees and pleads with the Lord, asking him not to do it. "Lord," he says, "they are not my people, but this people is thy people." Thus Moses prays for the guilty nation of Israel. He then descends slowly and carefully from the mountain. Unnoticed, he reaches the bottom. Without speaking one word, he looks at the shouting multitude who sing, jump, and dance around the golden calf. He becomes angry and grieved. He is carrying the two stone tables upon which the Lord had written the law. He throws these tables upon the ground, and they break in pieces. It has become as quiet as death. They all look anxiously at Moses. They realize that they have done something which was not right. No, it is much worse. They have been very sinful. Moses walks in silence to the golden calf, straight past all the people. The Israelites move shyly to the side. There Moses stands before the calf. Oh, look at what he does. Suddenly he takes hold of a hammer, and with one blow he knocks the golden calf into pieces. He picks up the pieces and puts them into the fire so that they burn. After that, he grinds it into powder and scatters it upon the drinking water of the Israelites. Now they must drink their own homemade idol. Thus, Moses holds them in derision. Moses is also angry with his brother Aaron. "Why did you do that?" he asked, trembling with indignation. "I could not help it," Aaron answered fearfully. "The people wanted it, they demanded it, and I did it, because I was afraid that if I didn't, they would kill me." "You have acted foolishly," Moses said. Aaron doesn't say anything else, but is silent. But something else happens. Behold, Moses walks a short distance away. Suddenly he cries, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me." It is as though, he cries, if there are any who did not go along with this ungodly feast, let him come here to me. He waits. Oh yes, there are some who come. One entire tribe comes who had not danced and jumped with the rest around the golden calf. It is the tribe of Levi. "Go to the place of the feast," Moses commands them, "and everyone you meet, stab to death." There they go. Most of the Israelites have already gone to their tents. but there are still many that remained. These thought it was too bad that the feast had ended so abruptly. It had been going so nicely, and they had been having such fun. Grumblingly they stand together. Suddenly they are taken by surprise by the tribe of Levi, and hundreds are slain. Soon the ground is strewn with dead bodies. All at once 3,000 people must appear before God. That day had begun with feasting and celebrating, but had ended with mourning. The dead are buried the following day. A large grave is dug, and therein the dead bodies are laid in a long line. That was the punishment for their wickedness. God will never permit himself to be mocked. Moses pitched a tent outside of the camp, which means far from every other tent, and everyone who repented could go to his tent to ask the Lord for forgiveness. The Lord also said, I myself will not bring you to Canaan, but an angel will do it. The people frightened when they hear this and are sad. Alas, this sadness is not sincere with many of them. Many are sad because the punishment is so severe, but they do not have any sorrow because of the sin itself. Do you know who really was sad? Moses. He falls upon his knees, beseeching and begging the Lord, saying, O Lord, I dare not go further without thee. Lord, if thou dost not go with us, then let us remain here. Without thee I cannot, without thee I will not go further. That prayer is heard and answered by the Lord, and he promised that he would go with them. The Lord would again help and go with that sinful, guilty nation. The Lord is so exceedingly good, boys and girls. When you have done something bad, and when you have been very naughty, then you should also bend your knees and ask the Lord for forgiveness. If you really do this in truth and uprightness, then the Lord will also forgive you. Moses must again climb the mountain. He takes two tables of stone with him because the first two were broken. The Lord again writes upon these stones the law of the Ten Commandments. The first four commands are on the first table, and the last six commands are on the second table. He is gone for another 40 days, but this time the Israelites do not make a golden calf. Happily not. When Moses finally returns, his face shines, for a heavenly light radiates from it. Aaron and the other Israelites see this, and they dare not come close to him. When Moses realizes this, he covers his face with a cloth, with a veil. O children, perhaps you also think sometimes that you can do whatever you want, that God doesn't see nor hear it. But that is a dreadful mistake, because the Lord surely sees it when you are naughty and disobedient, and he will punish you too. The Israelites experienced this.